Welcome to Oz Table Talk. We help millennials wrestle with their faith and start the conversations that we have been avoiding too long. So, let's get started. Welcome to this episode of Oz Table Talk. This particular episode, we're going to be back into our Culture versus Christianity series, and we're going to be talking about Christmas. Since we're only a week out, we thought this would be a great time to talk about this particular topic.
Yeah, so obviously in our culture, and no doubt in most of yours, wherever you're listening from, Christmas is a fairly major celebration and holiday. So today we're going to break down the cultural significance, but also how we as Christians can relate to the holiday. There is tension in our particular denomination about whether or not we should celebrate Christmas in the traditional way. And so we might talk about some of that tension today. We might talk also about how we as Christians can responsibly relate to the tension, but also how we can redeem the redeemable elements. We can take them out, and we can then use those to form our Christian responsibility for our celebration or our experience throughout the Christmas season. So that's going to be sort of that's going to be our process today. That's how we're going to talk about it. So, first of all, let's sort of talk about that tension. So why is there a tension? What's the deal, really, with Christianity and Christmas? So, I might start off by just saying, I know people that would go as far as to say that...
It's, you know, pagan!
Yeah, well, any holidays, they would say, you know, break that word up, and you've got holy days. Yeah. And so, you know, they feel that sometimes we're worshipping the holiday, and we're putting that instead of God. Yeah. Well, the question is that what our experience has to be on Christmas, Easter, name the holiday, you know what I mean? Mm. Melbourne Cup Day, for those of you who are listening from Australia. How can we relate to these holidays? Does it have to be an act of worship?
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's true. When I was growing up, I remember there was a good friend of mine who I respect a lot, but she was really passionate about the fact that, you know, you couldn't have any Christmas decorations, couldn't have anything like that. No tinsel, no trees, no nothing, because, you know, she felt that it was all pagan. And I think while there is truth to the roots of that, I think that some people are particularly passionate where in areas they don't need to be.
Yeah. So, like, just for starters, Christmas does have pagan roots, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you look back in your history books, you'll find that it comes from which part of the world, Ben?
Well, there's several origins. It's mostly to do with the rebirth of the sun in some cultures, because it's the winter solstice, so you get your darkest day and then the rebirth. So in particular, because of our Roman roots, we would probably relate it to Sol Invictus.
Mm. And so, you know, we've then gone and we've Christianized that pagan festival. We've, you know, put Christ into the pagan festival, and we've said, all right, it's all good. We'll worship now as Christians. And we'll do it on this day, and we'll call it, you know, Christmas, or however it began. Yep. So, obviously, there are pagan roots, and so that objection is a...
It's
genuine, you know, to think, you know, we don't want to be worshipping pagan gods,
which,
right?
Which we don't.
Yeah. And so, but the question is, you know, given the fact that it does have pagan roots, and how do we then relate to that as Christians? Do we do what your friend did, Luke, and we say, well, we're just going to avoid it wholesale?
Mm.
Or do we then step back and say, well, what are the elements within this that we can redeem?
Yeah. Well, Christmas is one of those ones where it's not as simple as some of the other holidays that have come down, because it has been tied with something that is... Yeah. Very much Christian, the birth of Jesus.
And the interesting thing with that is, as Ben was mentioning before we started recording, that the people that are generally in society today, they are most familiar with the Christian application.
Yeah.
And so if we are rejecting Christmas, like you were saying, Davey, if we're rejecting it wholesale, then we're actually putting a stumbling block before them, because we're missing out on the opportunity to connect with them at a time where they associate it with Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably secondarily to Santa, but...
that is true. Yeah. Yeah. But as far as the...
They don't know the roots, you're right.
Yeah, they don't know the roots. And so while it may be an issue for us to wrestle with in church circles, it's not necessarily an issue for people to wrestle with outside of that.
I think another reasonable concern that people have too is the commercialization of Christmas.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, you know, it may have started off as something that, you know, there was a lot of good in, As time has gone on, it does seem to, like, even in my lifetime, it's gone out of proportions in some places. And you know, if you look at the sales that they have in the shops leading up to Christmas, and it's quite
leading up to Christmas, like 2 months in advance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite ridiculous given the fact that there's people all around the world starving.
Yeah.
And yet we can, you know, dish out all of this. So they certainly have commercialized the holiday and turned it from being an opportunity to be, you know, generous and you know, have that spirit of you know, giving and sharing and, you know, spending time with family. It's sort of taken that and it's run with it and it's gone, well, let's just, you know, make this into
an ugly flip side.
Yeah. Some where we just waste, you know. So obviously that's another genuine concern that people can have about Christmas. Let's not get caught into commercialism. And to that, I think we would all say amen, right?
Yeah.
You know, but does that mean, again, does that mean we reject wholesale the giving of gifts just because it's being commercialized and you know what I mean? Like, well, not necessarily, right? If you choose to do that, you know, and like for your family, for example, Nathaniel, you don't give Christmas gifts, right?
Oh, not generally.
Yeah. And that's fine, right? Yeah. We don't say, well, you know, because you don't give gifts and you don't say, well, you're a, because we do.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we're saying is it's certainly a matter
of conscience.
We
think you're a heretic for other reasons.
Shh, on the recording, bro.
But you are right about it being out of control. I mean, have you ever unwrapped a chocolate Santa and found the bunny inside?
Yeah, reusing Easter bunnies. And, yeah, repackaged them as Santas. I have seen that.
Yeah.
I actually was eating it once and I didn't realize it until I was halfway through and I'm like, this is a rabbit. I got ripped off.
And I think that emphasizes the commercialization, but also the gluttony that we, let's face it, we all love our food and who hasn't gotten into a food coma by Christmas afternoon?
Especially when you do have family around, the peer pressure, especially when you're with mates and that. Oh, I can eat this many.
Are you blaming us?
No. but it is definitely one of the concerns about Christmas is the food.
Yeah. And again, you know, that's something that we can, that's something we have control over, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we can...
No, it should be a day of fasting, mate.
Day of fasting.
That's all there is to it. We can't have gluttony, so let's fast.
Yeah, it's the only solution.
Is food in and of itself a bad thing?
No. But it's our self-control, right? It's how we choose to do it. And obviously, we're not condemning somebody because they go into a food coma on Christmas afternoon. That, you know, that's something that, you know, we understand. That's that happens. When there's a lot of food around, we eat. But it is our choice how we celebrate Christmas. Yeah, and it's the same thing with the commercialization of Christmas. It's the same thing with the food. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
If we take the beautiful things that are baked into Christmas, then, you know, Christmas can have a good net effect.
Well, here's a way of putting it. Like, if I said to you, Ben, there's a holiday coming up. It's about paganism, commercialism, and gluttony. How would you feel about celebrating that particular holiday?
I've got some extra hours at work to get to.
Exactly. But if I said to you, there's a holiday coming up. It's about family, generosity, charity, inclusivity, you know, inviting your friends around, blah, blah, blah. And it's, you know, Jesus is at the heart of it. How would you feel about that holiday?
So, what are we up to and where can we get?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's do it. You know? Yes. And so, it's just all a matter of perspective, right? You know, if you look at that holiday, this holiday, and you see all of those things, well, if you want to focus on the gluttony, the commercialism, and the paganism, of course, you're going to feel like it's a totally waste of time. And in fact, I'm going to, you know, put up my banners and say, you know, no Christmas.
Yeah,
no Christmas
here. Santa, you know, do not stop here.
Burn the Christmas trees.
Yeah.
but if you look at the other side of it, you might see an opportunity, like we're saying. You might see an opportunity to reach out to people, for example, to, you know, share with those who don't have.
And if you don't want to, for those negative reasons, want to put your name to celebrating Christmas, there is still that opportunity that you can still do good.
Yeah, exactly.
And use that time, that opportunity to share.
Absolutely. I mean, when I was growing up, my family, it was always how we did Christmas. We always had people at our table that weren't of our family because there were always people that were going to be alone for Christmas. Yeah. And so we regularly would have 12, 15 people for Christmas because there was our family plus, this couple that have just moved here and that family.
Or this old lady from church.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Christmas can be a lonely time, yeah. Reaching out to people like that, it makes their day.
Yeah.
Cool. So we've talked about the opposition to Christmas, we've talked about some of the redeemable elements. Let's now sort of shift gears a little bit and make it more specific in our application and say, what is our Christian responsibility? And anyone listening, what is their Christian responsibility, given the fact that there is a holiday that draws the attention of the people? Mm-hmm. How can we then capitalize on that opportunity and be responsible stewards of our the gift of our gospel at Christmas time? I might kick us off in that particular application and say that I think it's a really, really good opportunity to serve the people around you in your community. You know, for example, there are organizations, if you don't have any specific ideas yourself, that at Christmas time the emphasis is all on, you know, this particular charity, that particular charity have this project going, etc. In our denomination, there's a project, ADRA. They have a Christmas project where you can spend, you know, $30 that you might have spent on a gift for someone, and you can start a business for somebody in Africa, right, for $30. And so you can spend your Christmas, you know, money to buy someone else a lifetime of happiness.
Yeah.
You know, what an opportunity to bless that person. Well, there could be a homeless person in your city that you might see, and you might be able to get them something for Christmas, something that will bring them cheer. You know, just little simple things that can make such a big difference in someone else's life.
Something else that that I was thinking about on this point, just as an example, I was talking to someone at church the other day about what they are doing for Christmas, and they were saying that when they moved into the area where they are living currently, that no one in the street ever talked to each other. They were all really closed off, and they said, "Oh well, why don't we break down some walls? We're gonna invite the whole street, and we're going to have a Christmas party for our street." And they did exactly that, and that gave them a great opportunity to connect and share with others. And I just thought,
and if you're running the party, you get to call the shots, so you can make it as Christ-centered as you like.
Exactly, and that's what they did. And so when I heard that, I was just like, "Oh man, why haven't I thought of that before?" You know, that's a great opportunity.
Yeah, I think also you mentioned before that Christmas can be a lonely time. NATO.
Yeah.
Recognizing that and just really ministering to those people who are lonely at Christmas, you know, particularly like if you've lost someone, the times when you're going to remember, you know, if it's a spouse, obviously anniversary is going to be big, but it doesn't matter who it is in their family. Christmas and birthdays are always going to be times where they're family times, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're going to remember them and you're going to have sorrow in your heart. So if you know somebody who has that in their life, obviously Christmas is an opportunity to just reach out to them and just, you know, even, you know, if it's a Christmas card, to tell them that you care, if it's inviting them over, if it's a little gift, whatever it is, you know, just some way of just extending that hand, you know? That's one of the things I love about Christmas. It's just a time to extend the hand.
Definitely see that as our responsibility, because we are to be like Christ.
Exactly.
What did Christ do? He ministered to those that were brokenhearted, that were lonely, that, you know,
and he said
sick,
the sheep and the goats, the sheep, you know, that they were the ones he said that, you know, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was, you know, hungry, you gave me food to eat. And they're like, "Oh, what? And he's like, "Well, you did it to me when you did it to them." You know? So that's certainly our responsibility.
Yeah.
And let me go so far as to say that if we are not doing that and we are cloistering ourselves off, we are actually not doing the very thing that Jesus himself would be doing.
Also, I think it's a great evangelistic opportunity. I have the privilege this week of giving the sermon just before Christmas. So it's going to be a Christmas service. And so I'm looking forward to the opportunity, because being that it's just before Christmas Day, extremely possible that there's going to be people there who are not of our faith, right? And potentially not Christians at all. So it's an opportunity to share the gospel. It's an opportunity to give people hope, to give them, you know, a shot at peace. And so, you know, why not? Like every week when we attend church should be an evangelistic series, you know what I mean? Like if someone's there that's not, or even if they are, you know, a member of your community of faith, it's an opportunity evangelistically, but especially on Christmas, you know, especially. And we got to remember that not just service at church, but everywhere you go. Like, I mean, some of us are planning on going to this Bethlehem Live thing here in our town where, you know, they're telling the nativity story in active, you know. What if we're walking through that, you know, seeing it all, and we see somebody who's just like, you know, soaking it all up, blown away, you know, it's an opportunity to share because people are open at this time of year.
I just wanted to point something out, what you were saying. You said hypothetically or potentially there's going to be someone at church looking for some peace. And I think we underestimate peace because peace is something that people just don't have. You know, that's something that people crave like you wouldn't believe. And sometimes, even though we are troubled as believers, we don't have half the trouble in our hearts that people who don't have a savior to lean on will have. And so don't take the peace that you have for granted if you do believe in God, and share that with someone else, because that's probably one of the biggest gifts that you can share, right?
Your family also have a little tradition at Christmas Street with the the candy cane thing.
Yeah, that's actually very true.
Do you want to just tell us about that?
Yeah. Because
that's a great way that they've, you know, used caroling and and lollies and...
sugar evangelism. something that we used to do was go to Christmas Street, which is where I used to live. There was a street where every house in the street would be decorated and lighted up for Christmas. And lit up for Christmas. Let me try English. And we would go there because, of course, the week leading up to Christmas, it was like tourists would be going past this place. They would charter buses to go through the area. It was a big deal. And so we would
take... I've been there. There's hundreds of people gathering there on Christmas Eve. Yeah, hundreds.
It really is. And the mum would normally make these candy canes with the candy cane story attached to it, which is associating candy cane with Jesus and explaining the, you know, his sacrifice for us. And we would go with a group from church and carol. We would sing. And as people stop and listen, we would be handing out these candy canes to the kids, and everyone was really happy to take them. And then as you walk up and down the street, you see there's people reading the notes and, oh, like, that's nice, you know, actually engaging with it. And it's amazing who you can reach in a setting like that that you would never connect with on any other occasion.
Exactly. That just emphasizes the opportunity of Christmas. Hey, because, like, you go and knock on doors any other time of the year, try and give them out a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Most people will say no before you even get a chance to explain,
Most
right?
Most people won't open the door.
Exactly. But come Christmas, they'll all take it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because of the candy cane. But I think more so it's because people are open to receiving gifts. And, you know, there is a lot of recognition of Jesus.
Yeah.
And you were saying before about not taking for granted our peace. Mm. Like, you try and buy a Christmas card that's, like, not a Santa-y card. Maybe they're different. But, you know, an ordinary Christmas card for an adult. And true, almost always it'll have peace. Something love, peace, or joy will be in the card, if not all three.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the gospel, isn't it? You know, the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm. Yeah.
Love, joy, peace.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that gives us a great overview of the issue. I think that gives us some really practical things. And I think we would all challenge, well, we challenge ourselves, but we also challenge you guys out there to give it some thought. This is coming out, there's a week before Christmas. Give some thought as to what you're going to do with Christmas. Mm. How are you going to leverage Christmas to show God's heart to somebody else?
Yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be about Christmas itself, but our responsibility to Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and whether you're celebrating it or, you know, in a traditional way or in your own way, you know, in doing Christmas, like, you're going to have a great time with your family Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. We're all going to have a great time in our different contexts on Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we just, I suppose where our message is, take hold of the opportunity, Christmas. Take hold of the opportunity and let it be what it can be, not necessarily what you've been told it is.
Don't let it be a stumbling block.
Yeah, that's right.
And run with it. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
Because it's not a burden. It's an absolute... bringing joy to people brings joy to yourself as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, with that, we're going to wrap this episode up. And next week, we have a special Christmas Day episode coming out where we're going to be looking at the incarnation. So strongly encourage you guys to tune in again next week. Not that I think you'll have time on Christmas Day itself, but it's okay.
They're part of the family, bro. Yeah. It's family time.
Oh, that's right. It's family time. You're part of the Table Talk family. That's it. So you've got to listen to us or else. We are looking forward to catching you guys then. But until then, have a great Christmas.
That's a wrap.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Very punny.
things before you go. Firstly, if you enjoyed the episode, please tell us about it. Jump onto social media, wherever you happen to find us, and tell us what you thought of the episode. Give us any suggestions or topics you may like to see in the future. We read everything and respond to just about everything that we can. Secondly, if you enjoyed the episode, share it with someone else who you know would love it too, because that's ultimately how we grow. If you share it with your friends, and then they share it with their friends, and so it goes on. Thirdly, if you want to be one of our favorite listeners in the world, just jump on and give us a review. Particularly if you can jump into iTunes, give us a review there, or whatever podcast aggregator that you happen to use. And also, if you want to give us a review on our Facebook page, that would also make a big difference to when people discover us and decide whether we're worth listening to. That would be a real blessing. But until then, we look forward to seeing you next time, and have a great week. Bye.